Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Amanda, for that cake exhibition. Thank you, Peter, for leading and reading, and Robin for your reading of the scriptures. We're going to continue with games. Let's do a word association. So it's the tool associated with the profession. You got it? Carpenter. So, hammer, I would have thought, yeah. A surgeon?
Scalpel.
A dentist?
Drill.
Pain. A brick, a needle, a bricklayer? Trowel, I think. A drummer? Need it. A seamstress?
Needle.
Needle, I would have thought needle, but we'll go there. A writer?
Computer.
Or a computer. Astronomer. A referee.
Whistle.
A minister.
Bible.
You would hope. You would hope. All these tools are indispensable for their work, but one tool everybody needs, even more important than a hammer to a carpenter, is discipline. Discipline. It's the mandatory tool of work. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 there, the correction of discipline are the way of life. You see, discipline is essential to live lives on the right track. Discipline is necessary to say no to temptation, to lust, to adultery, to greed. Who's been watching the Olympics just recently? Who hasn't? Ariane Titmus and Molly O'Callaghan, both who got gold medals, no doubt had a great discipline, waking up every morning, watching that thin black line down the pool, doing various exercises. Musicians, no doubt, need discipline. Peter plays the piano so well, and no doubt he practiced when he was younger. Nearly every work that you can consider, discipline is needed. When you think of discipline, it conjures up all these negative thoughts. A kid getting punished, a soldier getting yelled at, maybe a student getting expelled. Discipline generally has, conjures up negative thoughts. A rigid routine. But folks, I want to say that discipline is a friend if we want to be successful. And when it comes to the workplace, discipline is even more important than giftedness. We probably all know people who are gifted, and we probably do know of people who are disciplined. It was interesting hearing from Jessica Fox. She got two gold medals in the, you call it the canoe slalom?
Kayak slalom.
Kayak slalom, yeah. It's interesting what she said. She started relatively later in her career, and she certainly wasn't gifted in the water, rowing boats and things like that. But it was through discipline that she became better and better. She trained hours daily. She did gym work. She did reflex work, cardio work. She worked out how to rest when her heart rate was so high, and so on. And what I think about it too, and Neville might know, and Peter might know, at college, there were some people, some men there who were very gifted. They would get A's and in their essays, and, you know, they would complain wanting A pluses and da-da-da. But it's really interesting when you look back, those men who were very gifted and didn't have discipline, they fell out of ministry very quickly. And it was the people who were disciplined that actually persevered. If you want to be good at anything, you need discipline as you train, as you retrain, as you undertake work. Well, what is the mentality to work? I want to say it's good to work. All work, we read there from the scriptures, brings a profit. And not only physically, but emotionally too. The Bible talks about laziness as foolish. The sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. And we also see that God is a worker. He created in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested, didn't he? Psalm 19 talks about the universe declares the work of his hands. Even when God came into our world in the Lord Jesus, Jesus worked with his hands. He was a carpenter. God is spoken of as a potter who fashions and makes us like him. And because God created us in his image, we reflect God when we work diligently. Adam and Eve were made gardeners to work in the land. And as God's representatives here on earth, we have great dignity and honour when we work, paid or unpaid, in the way God would have us. But I guess with all work there must be a balance. There's extremes. There's laziness, and there's also being a workaholic. And sometimes the workaholic will find fulfilment in their work. Work defines who they are. Their importance and their value is tied up with their profession. And you often hear of that when blokes meet each other for the first time. G'day, how are you going? What do you do? And it's their value in because they're a doctor or they're a garbologist or whatever the case may be. But as Christians, God defines us who we are. We are special and valuable because God created us. We are special and valuable because God saved us in the Lord Jesus. And as his children, if we are to be like him, we need to follow his model of work and rest. Well, what is the manner to work? And I love this verse. Don't you like it? Yeah? Because there's no mucking around. It just gets to the point. Go to the end. I love the way you said it there. Go to the end, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no ruler, overseer, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest? You see, we are to work 7 days to put food on the table, and the seventh day is to rest. And that rest means physical rest, but it also means spiritual rest. And that's one of the things that we're doing when we come to church, when we think of God, especially when we praise him, especially together for his goodness to us. The other extreme to being a workaholic is being a bludger, or as the Bible says here, a sluggard. The sluggard is the person who refuses to work, who's lazy. He loves his bed. There's yawning. Oh, there's folding of the arms. There's the thought of, oh, just another minute or two, you know. A sluggard never begins things because he's always drowsy and sleepy. A little sleep, a little slumber, the Bible says. The sluggard never finishes things. In Proverbs 15, the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns. In other words, whatever he considers doing, there's always a problem. There's always a difficulty. The sluggard never faces up to things. Chapter 22, verse 13. The sluggard said, there is a lion outside. You know what? In other words, there's always an excuse not to do work. So the sluggard is lazy, dishonest, and unhelpful to himself and society. He thinks he knows what's best, won't take advice, he blames everybody else. And Proverbs said, instead of being a sluggard, go to the ant. And so what does the ant do? The ant works hard. Go to the ant, consider its ways and be wise. Have you ever seen a stationary ant? They're always on the move, aren't they? They're working. And if you're in the way, they will go around you. They will go over you. And if you don't get out of the way, they'll bite you. So that might continue doing what they're doing. They are the most industrious and resourceful animals in existence. They are successful in every continent except, does anyone know? Antarctica. You can imagine why there. They are wise in modifying habits, utilising resources and in defending themselves. I don't know who worked this out, but apparently an anthill, which can go a number of metres high, and when you consider the size of an ant, ratio-wise is a lot higher than the highest of buildings that we can build. I've been watching the Olympics, and some of the weights they are lifting is probably, you know, you're flat out trying to pick up your own weight, especially my weight. But you know what? Ants can lift 50 times their own weight. Can you imagine that? There's no slumbering for the ant. When it's time to work, they have discipline to work hard. So they work hard. They work honestly. Proverbs says it has no commander, no overseer or ruler. You see, they don't need a boss or an overseer to keep them honest in their work. In your working days, you may know people who only worked when the boss was coming. You know what I'm talking about? Or they'll only work, you know, when someone's watching them. But not the ant. The ants have an inbred integrity. An honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And the scriptures elsewhere in Proverbs says God hates dishonesty. The Lord abhors dishonest scales. Chapter 20, differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. You see, when we are dishonest in our work, when we are not pulling our weight, it's something the Lord abhors and detests. Ants have that discipline to work honestly. And thirdly, they work helpfully. Yet it stores, in verse 8, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. When an ant works, it's not only working for the present, but it's really working for the future needs and the needs of others. They work to help the community, the colony of ants, the body of ants. And some ants are builders. Some ants are gatherers, some ants are soldiers, some ants are cleaners, and there's even some ants that are in the funeral business, that when they die, they're ants that get rid of the bodies. You see, they all have their different jobs in the colony of the ants. All ants work in different fields, but they have a collective mind. They work to help the body of ants. No ant works for themselves. They don't have, there's nothing like, you know, they're working for their own reputation to be rich, to help themselves. Ants work for the good of their community, their colony, their body. They help each other. You see, why you work is just as important, is maybe even more important, as what you do. So my work, or your work, have you got the right tools of trade? Have you got discipline in your life? Have you got it in the right balance? Are you a sluggard? Or are you an ant? As I look around, there may not be many of you with full-time jobs anymore because you're retired. But those of you who still have a career, are still working, you need to ask the question, do you work hard, honestly and helpfully? Are there areas you need to repent of in your paid job? Do you work hard, honestly and helpfully in your home chores? I got my wife here and she's going to testify that. Do I? You're the best. Cleaning, washing, mowing. What do you do in the household when I do? but honestly, are we sluggish in that area of our life? Too much slumbering, or maybe too much Olympic TV? Do you work hard, honestly, and helpfully for your church family? Do you? You know, the Bible talks about serving our brothers and sisters, serving our church as ministry, and sometimes ministry can be hard. Folks, we need discipline. We need discipline to carve out time for our gifts. Is there honesty in our ministry? Are we pulling our weight? If everyone had your attitude to serve, where would St. Peter's be? You know, there are some people that do music, there are some people do cleaning, some people who do rosters, who read, people who do morning tea, the people doing office works, people just recently have done working bees, people are starting to do visitation. There's some people involved in parish council. We need people to update the website. And I thank God many of you are like ants. I remember some years ago when I first went to Camden, I preached a sermon similar to this about the body of Christ and how we should be involved. And how we all have different gifts and together we are stronger. Like that little video was talking about, we are stronger when we work together. And I remember these older ladies came to me from the 8 o'clock service and they said, Tony, we agree with what you said, but we just haven't got the energy or are able to do some of those things you mentioned. But then they said, but one thing we can do is to pray for you. And you know what? Some of those older ladies who have actually are dying because a number of them have reached a good age, the ones that are alive are still praying for me. And I've got to say, in some ways, they have been a greater encouragement to me and the ministry that I had than others. And so there is, you know, if the Lord doesn't need you in this life, guess what? He's going to take you. All right. What's your, I was reading your, what do they call it, your motto. It's Jesus, what is it? Who is it? I can't see the writing. It's being friends with the community and helping us to get, yeah, taking it and making us, what was it? They're making us get to heaven. Bringing them to home heaven. You can read that two ways, you know. and bringing them home to heaven. Well, if God wants you to get to heaven, that means he has no more use for you in this life. And the fact that you're still here, you can do something. God wants you to be available to do his work. You know, Dorothy Sayers, who did a lot of interviews, said that the interviewer, the people that were the most happiest and the most contented were often the World War II veterans. They sacrificed, they gave for their country, they in some cases weren't even paid, and yet they were mostly fulfilled. When we help others, when we work together, there's great fulfillment in that. Folks, can I just say from experience, and I've been to a number of churches where I've been the minister, and as I look back, the happiest people, or can I say the most joyful people, the most contented people, are the people who were involved in ministry, people who were serving. And often, you know, there would be this thing, oh, but you know, the same people are doing the same thing. That shouldn't be the case. But often they were the happiest because they were doing the Lord's work. And folks, if there are people here this morning, you need to ask yourself, what ministry am I doing? Am I praying at the very least? We look at Jesus' model of work. Jesus was a chippy. Actually, before I do, I might actually just play that video and you can tell me what are some of the ants doing. Thank you. it's obviously a dead worm. So just go backwards. What were some of those ants doing as they were pulling that worm? They were pulling together. Yeah, very good. So ants are pelicans. Yeah. No, I got you. Yes, some are pushing. What about the ones in the front? What were they doing? Clearing the way. They were doing reconnaissance work, weren't they? Someone picked up that the ones in the back often jumped in when others got tired. I don't know. But you can see that they were all working together. They were helping each other for the whole body. And folks, like us, we are the body of Christ. We are a community. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other. We have different gifts. And God's church will, there's nothing better than the local church when all the people are working together. You know why sometimes churches look like unattractive to the community? It's because sometimes the church is not working as it ought. And if the church is deficient in some areas, it won't look attractive at all. But if the church is working together, if the church is doing things and it's full, it's fully established doing the Lord's work, it's going to be attractive. Our attitude. Folks, God knows our hearts and he knows who we are trying to help. Whatever we do, Colossians says we ought to be doing it for the Lord. Whatever we do, we ought to be doing as if we're serving him. And Jesus' model of work, he worked hard and honestly as a tradesman. He probably did his fair share of chores around the house. We don't know. But Jesus knew that his life wasn't about him. It was about helping and doing God's will. And he says it there. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus knew his life wasn't about him. And he is the Son of God. He came to seek and save the lost. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to and give his life as a ransom for many. And folks, if we are not motivated to serve, we need to come back to the cross. Because I think we haven't really understood what Jesus has done for us. He sacrificed his life for you. He shed his blood for you so that you can be his forgiven children. He rose from the dead so that we can share in that resurrection and be with him in heaven. Folks, let us be thankful for Jesus' work on the cross. Let's be busy as ants. Let's, out of thankfulness, pull our weight in our paid jobs, in our home jobs, and more importantly, in God's church. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for your goodness and your love. Father, we want to thank you for the Lord Jesus, for his service to us, for his sacrifice for us. Father, for that we are eternally grateful. And Father, we pray that you might move us, motivate us to serve you in various ways as we are reminded of your grace and of your love and of your mercy to us in the Lord Jesus. Help St. Peter's be that shining light in our community. Help us to work together as a team. For Jesus Christ's sake we pray. Amen.